From the studios of WICR at the University of Indianapolis, I'm Richard Brendan, and this is Journey's Fire. Hey, welcome to the program. You know, when I hear about an organization that's fairly new, but already doing some great work in a community and have a bold vision to take it to the world, I got to find it out, so I did. And there's a great organization in the Central Indiana area called No Rain, No Rainbows. It's a 501c3 nonprofit that serves women, young girls, and children who have suffered in abusive relationships. And I'm honored to have the founder and executive director of that organization as my special guest. Her name is Katie Wyatt. Katie's a survivor of severe domestic violence, and she founded this organization just a few years ago that is committed to helping women and children who've suffered all kinds of abuse in situations, but it's also empowering them and making them help feel worthy of love and connected to themselves and others and the community. I think you're going to be blown away by the information she has to share and also the quality and the types of programs they're offering. So it's a joy to have Katie with me today. Katie Wyatt, welcome to Journey's Fire.
Thank you, Richard. Great to be here.
It was a joy to be able to learn more about you through a mutual friend. I saw actually a short video of you on Instagram, and I had no idea that right here in Central Indiana was an organization already doing such amazing work. And since then, I called you up, went out to visit the property. It's just south of Mooresville, in Mooresville, Indiana, and I was amazed by the beauty of it. Now, as we're going to learn into the program, that's just bare bones beginning of the vision you have, and you have it all laid out. So once again, I wanted you to come on the show to try to get the word out to as many people as possible, not only here in Central Indiana, but worldwide through iTunes and the other podcast sources we have. So thank you for sharing your time with us.
Thank you so much for inviting us onto the show, and thank you for your support and your enthusiasm and your passion for our work. And it's really exciting to be here today and have the opportunity to share with your listeners about our work and our vision for the future. So thank you so much.
Well, let's start first of all. Why don't you share kind of a broad-based vision of what this is about? Let's not go into any of the programs right now. We will. But just give us like a paragraph synopsis. And then after that, I'd like for you to take a step back and share more about your journey, okay?
Okay, so we are creating a care farm in south of Indianapolis in Mooresville, as you've already shared. And what is a care farm? A care farm is when you partner animals with people, and bringing them together provides a therapy. So people will be familiar with equine therapy, and we're using farm animals to help provide therapeutic benefits to women and children that have been impacted by trauma, primarily abuse, grief, and loss.
Thank you for that. And there's a reason why that vision has become, well, first of all, that it came to you, and you are so very passionate about it. And that's where I'd like to take a step back and have you talk a little bit more about your journey and how you got there. First of all, people are going to be listening and say, does she have an accent? Now, they'll say that if they're Americans. If they're listening in England, they'll say, does that host have an accent? I'd like for you to share where you were living at the time, was in England, but what you went through and some of the epiphanies that you had that you shared with me, I'd like for you to share with our listeners. This is a very powerful story.
Okay, so I'm from the UK, as you may have guessed, and I was born in a northwest city in the UK called Chester, which is a Roman city, very beautiful. And I had a lovely family, and I guess growing up, I felt slightly lacking in confidence at school. I'm dyslexic, but I wasn't diagnosed as being dyslexic until a few years ago. However, when I was 28, I met somebody and fell very much in love, and it was a whirlwind romance, and we got married after 6 months and 6 days, went on a beautiful honeymoon to Kenya, and when we came back, we were just lying in bed, and before I knew it, he was upset, and he removed me from the bed by my hair and smashed my head into our cast iron bed frame. I woke up from being unconscious and was in such a state of shock. I was silent, and I just couldn't find any words, really, and I didn't speak to him about it, and nor did I speak to anyone else about it. And that really was the beginning of many very serious episodes of violence in that marriage. And that was the driver behind me doing the work that I do. It was a journey that took many years to recover from. And part of that, actually, I had this amazing woman through the police. They offered, in the UK, they offered services called victim support. And it got to a level where I had to phone the police because I was in so much danger. And the victim support provide a counsellor. And I had this angel that came into my life called Pam. Mm-hmm. And she was so wonderful. And she saw in me qualities that I couldn't see for myself at the time. She believed in me in a way that enabled me to eventually walk away from that relationship. And it was through having that service, having someone who believed in me, having someone by my side, supporting me through that and making me believe in myself on days when I really didn't. I saw the power in that. And that inspired me to want to one day set up an organization that could be there for women and children that were navigating similar circumstances. So that's the reason No Rain, No Rainbows was born. And
explain the meaning of that, the name.
So when I left hospital for the last time, a friend gifted me a plaque, No Rain, No Rainbows. And I'm very visual as a person, and I love the name. And I love the idea that after the storm, that we have to sometimes have the negative in life, the rain, and after that comes the sunshine and the beauty of the rainbow. And that really spoke to me. So I knew then that I would one day use that as the name for the organization. So yeah. That's why I founded the 501c3 in 2019, and we called it No Rain, No Rainbows.
And there is a little bit of a love story here. Explain how you got from the UK to Mooresville, Indiana.
Yes. So I was working very hard, and I had both my father and one of the girls who was working in one of the women's shelters that I was supporting in the UK suggested that I perhaps needed to have a relationship and that I should go online. Anyway, I decided to go home and have a look at this website, Spiritual Singles, and I filled in a very short profile just out of curiosity to see whether I may get a response. Anyway, the second person to email me, or to message rather, is now my husband. So we connected and we did a Skype call, and I thought, well, I'm not so sure I'm going to move to the middle of America so far away from my friends and family, and decided to come off the website anyway because we'd already connected through Skype. We connected again a week later, and here I am three years later.
Yes, and Johnny is his name. Yeah.
Johnny, my lovely husband and best friend, yes.
So I'm envisioning right now, as people are listening to your story, they're also logging on to spiritualsingles.com. I didn't thought about that until now. So they can thank you for that if they get an increase in subscribers.
Absolutely.
So you came here, and share a little bit about the property you currently have and the animals you have.
So we've called it Amatola Care Farm, and Amatola is actually a Native American name for rainbow, which I love, and it tied in with No Rain, No Rainbows. So Amatola Care Farm is 8 acres of beautiful land with a lake that my husband put in. And we have 6 donkeys. We recently acquired another 2 a couple of weeks ago that we're going to be separated, and we didn't want that to happen. We have a service dog, Luna Ray, and we have 3 cats. And we have very ambitious plans to put in more paddocks and homes for further animals, so they can offer lots of cuddles and love and fun to the women and children that will come here to do the program.
Yeah, when I drove out to your property, I was amazed, actually, by just the raw beauty of it, let alone envisioning what it can be, the vision that you have. Johnny's helping so much with his work and efforts behind the scene and constructing all of that. We're talking about a studio for classes for yoga, healing education. We're talking about a small room for podcasting where you and also the women can record and share their stories to the world. There's a lot of things going on there, but I just love those donkeys. You have 6 now. They're all adopted. And it reminded me of the Gentle Barn, and I had Ellie Lax come on the show many years ago now, but there's a lot of farm sanctuaries springing up across the country, perhaps the world, and they're so needed. But there's been also a lot of research in the healing power of animals. I know with hospice, we have pet therapy. Oftentimes it's dogs, sometimes cats. And I know that's a vision. You're going to be getting a dog for that very reason at some point. But also the donkeys, watching children and the women and such with them. There's just some kind of a healing dynamic that takes place in that interaction, isn't there?
Yes, and honestly, I've been so amazed by it. I mean, I researched it so much, and as a person, I've always connected with animals, which is where this idea was born from, because navigating my own personal trauma, it was spending time with animals and the unconditional love and the benefits that I got from that I know firsthand how powerful that is. But research shows that spending time with animals has huge therapeutic benefits. It boosts confidence. It's amazing for children on the spectrum. And there's nothing better than cuddling a donkey to release oxytocin, lots of happy hormones, which help with social and emotional skills. But they say they're very zen-like. And after watching them with the children, they tune in. It's almost as if they read them, which is why equine therapy is very popular. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. because the donkeys are miniature, I think also the smaller in size is really good with smaller children or perhaps older children and adults that aren't as confident around animals. So it's been a really positive experience, and we're really excited to share them with the people that are going to be coming here in the future.
Can you share first a little bit about the need and why there is such a huge need for women and children who find themselves in abusive relationships and such? I know you've done a lot of research on that, but can you educate all of us in terms of the gravity of that situation and why organizations like yours are so important?
Absolutely. So the statistics are so high in terms of the numbers of people that are impacted. And in my experience, the statistics that are available are often several years old and outdated. But they say that 1 in 4 women will experience a severe intimate partner physical violence in their lifetime. In Indiana alone, say there's 32,000 children in the foster care system, and many of those will have experienced abuse of some kind. 1 in 5 females engage in self-harming. 50% of those have been sexually abused. 20% of teenage girls say they've been in a relationship with someone where their boyfriend threatened violence. And every 9 seconds in the USA, a woman experiences violence. So in terms of globally and locally, the number of women and children who experience domestic abuse, who are self-harming, who may be experiencing addictions, eating disorders, rape and suicide, it's high. And with the current lockdown, that abuse and around the world has risen, sadly. So there's a great need for organizations and communities to come together and help support people that are navigating these challenges.
Yeah, yeah. Your programs have already reached over 800 women and children, which I find amazing. And I'm so excited to hear that because there's so many more people to reach. So let's talk a little bit about the programs that you have already. And by the way, many of these are online because unfortunately we are in COVID and we don't know how long that's going to last. So people want to be safe. So let's just start with the various programs that you have right now.
Yes. So if you go to the website, you will see on the front page there that we've got the six programs listed. And these programs are for both women, for children, and for young adults. And the main programs are programs to for children navigating grief and loss, which is called Project Rainbow. Mm-hmm. We have Project Happiness, which is teaching social and emotional skills to help both women and children navigate daily life and live a more joyful life. We've got Love Yourself, Heal Your Life program, which is an accredited Louise Hay program, which is fantastic for women and teens that have experienced trauma. We've got Project Silver Linings, which is a new program that we're launching, and this is for crisis management, which is navigating COVID at the moment, being at home, not seeing your friends, how to manage your anxiety, how to manage depression, how to manage feeling isolated. And then we've got, number six? And we've got Read With Me, which is when you get to read with the animals, which is amazing for children that maybe have dyslexia or for children on the spectrum or for children that are just lacking confidence and want to connect.
Yeah. Now, laying out those six programs, let's go back and do a deeper dive in each one of those, can we? Let's start with the first one that you shared. What was that again?
Okay. So I believe that was Project Rainbows.
Yes.
So Project Rainbows is a 9-week program. We do it in very small, intimate groups, so it'll be done online between 5 to 6 children. There's 3 different age groups looking at elementary, middle school, and high school. And this is to help children that are navigating grief, loss. This might be divorce in the family. It could be the loss of a pet. It might be one of the parents is in prison. Or it could be that they've moved homes. So it's about building the relationships within the group and building their confidence and allowing them to express their feelings and for them to realize that they're not on their own. Mm-hmm. And also for the parent to feel supported during that time. And we also offer a support group to the parents. So if a parent wanted to understand what the child's learning in the program, we also do breakout groups with the parents so that they can support the child.
Yeah, I was glad to hear you define loss in very broad terms, because isn't that so true? I remember I had some hospice patients in the past where several of them would have children in prison. A couple had fathers in prison. And if the prisons were fairly close by in Central Indiana, I would get permission, have to go through the right channels to then visit those individuals there. But there can be loss of any kind right now. And when you're talking about these young kids, I mean, gosh, kids and animals, I mean, that nothing tugs on my heart more than especially those two demographics. And we just need to provide those kind of services for them in the worst way. And I'm wondering also about kids who are stuck home now a lot, and they can't really connect personally with their friends as much as they did because they're doing online studies. And I was talking to a nurse actually today, and she was bringing that up because she had children that age, young children, and she read somewhere where statistics were going up in terms of depression amongst children, which I found incredibly sad.
Yes, there's so much for them to navigate at the moment, whether that's wearing masks, not seeing their friends, the heightened media, the fear that they may get sick, the fear that they may lose someone close to them. So there's many different reasons that they may be feeling anxious or depressed. And these programs really help, you know, connecting, being able to share your feelings, feeling like you're not alone, mm-hmm. building relationships, having fun, being creative, community. These are the things that are so powerful. These are the things that make a difference in a day. These are the things that turn those negatives into positives and give them a toolkit to navigate their lives that will go on far further than just, you know, this phase that they're navigating at the moment. So we love the programs because we see the difference that they make, and we have people that have been on the programs that are still part of the women's group online and still get in touch today and talk about how they remember specifics from the programs and how it still helps them in their everyday life. So that's what makes us feel really positive and want to continue doing what we're doing, because it just makes a difference, and we want people to feel empowered and living joyful, happy lives.
Yeah. So you have six amazing programs. That's the first one. Let's talk about the second one.
Okay. So Project Happiness, this is an amazing program that was developed by a wonderful lady called Randy Taran. Randy Taran's daughter struggled with depression. So she researched it, and she did work with the Dalai Lama, with Richard Gere, and with George Lucas from Star Wars. And they got mindfulness experts in, psychology experts in, and they looked at how they could put together a program. So they've created a 9-week program. It's based on the acronym of HAPPINESS. And through the weeks, we look at different topics such as happiness, appreciation, what the child's passions, characters, and strengths is, what's their perspective, how do they talk to themselves, do they have an inner critic and an inner friend, empathy, what is that, and then celebrating the differences between each other, but also recognizing that we all have these common threads between us. So it's just this beautiful, interactive 9-week program that does everything from being creative, making happiness journals, watching videos, discussion that really helps them enjoy each week. And we've had a lot of success with that. I ran the program into many organizations in the UK, and the children loved it, and also the parents. Often we would run the program with parent and child, and the mums often got as much or more out of it than the child did, because they wanted to pause, and it was nice for them to have some time to think about these subjects as well.
Absolutely. And I would think not only is the information and perhaps various like exercises and such valuable, incredibly valuable, but just knowing that someone like yourself, and maybe if you have some others help with some of these, that you care for them, that they feel cared, that they feel loved. I mean, there's nothing more powerful than love and empathy. That's a word you mentioned too, which is really, really important. But I would think that alone is worth it for what they're experiencing, because all too often we don't find that in too many places.
No, I mean, I don't know what it was like for you at school, but certainly no one was teaching us about gratitude. We weren't really being taught about empathy. These skill sets are so important, and they just help manage our emotions and help us build relationships and resilience. And all these skills help us have healthier relationships with our friends, with our family, at school and outside school. So they're hugely important. And you know, if you have good social skills, if you feel you're part of something, if you feel confident, if you love yourself, if you value yourself, if you've got safe boundaries, all these things lead to a happier life.
Yes. Yes. It reminds me of a mystic poet, Hafez, one of his poems. He said, "I once asked a bird, how is it that you fly in this gravity of darkness? She responded, love lifts me." And they are being lifted by the love that they feel from you. They feel from these online classes that have been created by people who know what they're doing in terms of having them feel that love that they so desperately need. And I just think that is so amazingly beautiful. You know, you mentioned something. It reminds me of Dr. Leo Buscaglia, who passed away in 1998, but still one of my all-time favorite teachers. I have every one of his books. He taught on love, and he was on NPR a lot and PBS. But he used to go on and on because he was an educator professor at USC. He couldn't understand why every school in the country didn't have a class on love, because it's the one thing that we so need more than anything else, above the sciences and literature and math and geography. And to my knowledge, I still don't see any classes taught on love in schools. So if we can get it through organizations like yours and online classes, then I say yes, more power to you. I think that's amazing. I'm excited about already these first two programs. I believe the third one is it Project Rainbows?
Project Rainbows we've spoken about. Project Happiness we've spoken about. We've got Project Silver Lining, which is the new crisis program that's launched. And that is very similar to the grief and loss, but it's about how to deal with anxiety, depression, and these times. And for people to really specifically focus on what's going on at the moment with COVID and how that might be impacting their lives. And then the fourth program is Love Yourself, Heal Your Life. And Love Yourself, Heal Your Life is a program, accredited program, inspired by the work of Louise Hay from Hay House, which I'm sure you're very familiar with. But it's a beautiful 9-week program, and it is, just as it said, which follows on what you were just saying, love yourself and heal your life.
Yes.
So Louise Hay, through her own personal experiences, was physically abused by her stepfather, then sexually abused, and went on to New York, and she found out that she had cancer. And she had a spiritual mentor who said, you've not come this far, Louise, to die. And he worked with her, and her learnings, her practices. She wrote a book, and it sold over 65 million copies. And someone actually presented me with a copy of that book many years ago, and that led me to do the training and become accredited in her work. And this program is just so transformational, and we've offered it into many organizations who support both women and children that have experienced or are experiencing domestic abuse. And it's a very powerful workshop. I've done it myself personally, and it transforms lives and gives people tools to help them in the day-to-day challenges of life.
I've not taken a workshop, but I have the book. I use it often, especially in the back of the section, looking up symptoms and such and finding out what the emotional issues might be because of that. And I'll tell you, all the research, I have a lot of Hay House authors as guests on this radio show. Louise Hay, yes, she healed herself of cancer by doing a number of different things, but holistically. And yes, there are times when we use the Western medicine, but there's times when we use what we've learned from the East. And it reminds me of a story of a dear friend of mine who I still sorely miss. She was my founding board member of my not-for-profit that I had, Sister Judy in Breitenbach. She died at 82 of a brain aneurysm at one of her board meetings. She was founder of Namaste Healing Center in LaPorte, Indiana, where they implemented the various things that you're talking about for people, specifically physical health, holistic health. But she was very close to Deepak Chopra, and that's how I was able to bring Deepak Chopra here to Indianapolis to do an event at Clues Hall. Long story short, she came down with breast cancer, and she went to Deepak and his associate and best friend at the time. They were both co-founders of the Chopra Center, and she asked him what to do. And Deepak quickly suggested surgery, and she was surprised by that. And if you knew Judian, or if my listeners could actually see a photo of her that I have with me, and it's radio and podcasting, you can't. Her crystal clear blue eyes, and she was a small little lady like a Mother Teresa. She said, I looked at him and I pointed my finger and I said, I will not, because I'm going to follow all the teachings that you have given me and so many others because I believe in them. So she did. And she had it all laid out in terms of the types of foods and organic foods and meditation, and went on like a 6-month sabbatical and then maintenance after that, and the cancer left. And she shared that with Deepak. And at the time, maybe he still does, he had his own radio show on Sirius Satellite Radio. And he confessed on his show that he was wrong. And he shared Judean's story. And he said, I should have believed in it, but I loved her so much, I didn't want to lose her. So I can vouch for the program, this particular program, and the work that Louise Hay and now science, actually, has supported. So I'm so jazzed that you have a program like that for people who've gone through such horrendous experiences.
It's fantastic, and it helped, you know, not just with, well, health, relationships, their careers, finances, stress, anxiety. I mean, it's wonderful. And, you know, she has the book. She also has the workbook. So, you know, the people that come and do the program can also do that at home and then share those tools, those skills with their families. And it just, the effects of it just ripples out. And I'm a huge fan, and I've seen the transformation. So I'm glad you shared that story. That's fantastic. I mean, we're so powerful, and sometimes we look externally for people to heal us or for help. And there's so much we can achieve within us with the power of the mind and visualization and prayer. Many different methods, depending on what your beliefs are, and you know, whether you're a visual person. But there's amazing ways that you can improve your health and your state of being and your quality of life.
Sometimes when a person is emotionally abused, they can handle that through a number of ways, and they're not really positive, but they're escapes, if you will. It helps them kind of numb the pain, and one of it is compulsive patterns of unwise eating. And I believe you have something that can even address that for people who are experiencing that right now, and I believe there's quite a lot of people who are.
Yeah, so Love Your Body, our online program, is exactly that. So if you're struggling with compulsive patterns of unwise eating, this is just fantastic. A lot of us, I think if you experience abuse or you have trauma in your life, it's that lack of control. It's that feeling that everything is happening to you. And so often we want to take that control back, and food is often a vehicle to do that. So it may be that you choose to not eat. Maybe you compulsively eat. Maybe you're binge eating. And so it's this unhealthy relationship with food that can then cause someone to have that, like it is in Project Happiness, that inner meanie, that negative internal dialogue, and that constant yo-yo dieting, or the gaining too much weight or being too thin. So this program really is about looking at the underlying issue to your relationship with food. And really, again, it goes back to the foundation to all of this, which is self-love. When we remove the blocks that we build around us of things that have happened in our life that cause our behaviors, then we are able to really look to ways of how we can improve our self-love and our deservability and have a more conscious, healthier way of eating and living our lives. So this is a fantastic program. It's a 6-week program, 21 lessons, and just take you on a beautiful journey with yourself and your body. So.
You know, I find it fascinating that when I would have guests on the show, and after we're done, and maybe we'll chat just a little bit, although we've stopped recording, and no matter what topic, it could be they were an environmentalist, it could be they were talking about something else, I don't know. But I would ask them, I'm curious, what would you say is the number one need that we have in this world? And 98%, almost 100% of all of them said self-love, we don't love ourselves enough. I find that fascinating. Why do you think that is? Why do you think so many people struggle with self-love?
Well, I can completely back that up. One of the things we do on the Louise Hay is we do mirror work, where you look in a mirror and you identify one thing that you love about yourself. And I would say 700 women, I've not had one woman that's looked in that mirror and celebrated themselves. They've all found it exceptionally difficult. So why do we struggle to love ourselves? I think it's seen as indulgence. I think it's thought as maybe it's vain. I don't think we're taught it at school. I was never taught it. I don't know of anyone that was taught the importance of self-love. And it for me and my experience and others, it's everything is external. So when you get the right exam results at school, then you'll be happy. When you get the perfect job, then you'll be happy. When you marry, then you'll be happy.
Yeah.
When you get the lovely house, when you get the car, when you get the jewelry, when you go on holiday to this place, whatever it is, the external acquirement of something, then you'll be happy. And I think for many of us, something happens in our life that rocks us to the core, and it's through that adversity, it's through the trauma, it's through that healing journey that we get stripped back to our core, and we ask ourselves questions. We go on our soul's journey asking what's important.
Yes.
And often we find ourselves brought to our knees where we have to face ourselves, literally, like in the program, facing yourself and looking into your own eyes, into your own soul, connecting with that little child within you that's longing to be held, that's yearning for love, that wants to feel respected and cared for, that is hurting from the trauma in their lives, wants that love, wants that recognition, wants to feel respected, wants to feel safe. And so we all, I think, eventually, hopefully, with help and assistance or through circumstances, get to a place in our lives where we realize that until we love ourselves, until we have that self-love for ourselves, until we can celebrate ourselves, our qualities, our unique gifts that we bring to this world, then we can't offer it to anybody else because we don't have it ourselves to give. And that's the key. And I've written it about that pot of gold at the end of the rainbow is tucked inside you. It's tucked inside us. You know, your gifts, your uniqueness that you bring to this life is so beautiful and so rare. And when you love yourself and fill yourself up with love that's abundant, that is limitless, then that ripples out into your life, into your family, into communities, into the world, and it's beautiful. It's everything.
Katie, what was it like for you? I mean, you just touched on the abuse you went through, and yet you learned and are learning about this self-love yourself. What was that like for you to have it drop down finally from your head, which I call knowledge, into your heart, which I call illumination? And how do you maintenance that? How do you maintain that? Because nobody really can day after day. What practice do you have, if you will, I guess? Meditation, what have you. What do you do to keep yourself in that place, that good place?
So back to Hay House. So Wayne Dyer. So to rewind to the beginning part of that question, when I was in the thick of it and I struggled to find a reason to get out of bed or to function, I they say fake it till you make it. So I would find inspirational teachers that I connected with, and I would play them before I got out of bed, mm-hmm. when I was brushing my teeth, when I'd be putting my makeup on, when I would listen to them on audio driving to work. And I found this to help me so much. And I guess listening to the common threads between those mentors, teachers, inspirational speakers, I started to practice those things in my life. One of them was Wayne Dyer, and it was about, I remember him saying before he put his feet on the floor in the morning, he would say, thank and you. Mm. And so I started implementing things in my life, you know, gratitude, realizing the things in my life that I had and how blessed I was, mm-hmm. even on days where I may be struggling to come up with those. There were always many things once I started. I started to explore the concept of meditation. I didn't really know anything about it, but I kept hearing these things from all these people that were all doing the same things, whether that was gratitude, whether that was exercise, whether it was meditation, whether it was surrounding yourself with positive people, getting out in nature, animals. There were these things specifically that worked for me, and I just started weaving them into my day. And, you know, that's going back now to 2007. So these practices now, I would say, for 13 years have been a part of my life, but I would say really over the last 4 years, 5 years, mm-hmm. It's become a much deeper practice. And, you know, when life, as we all know, you know, ebbs and flows and twists and turns, and we can be so good for a period of time, and then we perhaps don't do the things that we know help us, whether that's a change in diet or whether not doing the meditation because life has got busy, whatever the reasons are, and you just notice in yourself that you know things are getting you down more, or your mind is more busy or chirping away about things, and you have to revisit your practices again.
Yes. Well, we're all just walking each other home. I mean, we all have those days, and we all can encourage one another. And I know part of what you do, really, it's you don't verbalize it or put it in writing, but you're also a person that can hold someone else's dreams when they're too tired or they don't have the strength to even believe in it. And then when they are, then you say, you give it back to them in a very gentle way. You shared something earlier that struck me, and it's so important, and that is people wanting to feel safe. Because when they feel safe, that's when they can allow the love to come in. And it reminded me of a story from Stephen Levine, one of my favorite end-of-life contemplative teachers, passed away 3 years ago. He wrote a lot of books on this, but he shared a story once that I heard him share. He was visiting a woman in a hospital in a catatonic state, and docs would visit her, and nurses, and probably a social worker, a chaplain, and she wouldn't come out of her coma. Well, Stephen would hear it about it, and he started visiting her. And when he would come in, he would either just gently, he'd always gently sit down, and either by just putting a hand on her arm or speaking her name softly and quietly, she would open up her eyes and come out of the coma. Well, he found out that she was only doing that for him, not for the other people. And so he finally asked her, he said, "Ma'am, why do you only come out of the coma when I'm in the room?" And she said, "Only love is safe enough to come out to."
Wow.
And so what you provide through this amazing organization, and then I want to get into the property also that you have, you provide a safe space. Safe space online, safe space in person, when you're able to do that, and you were doing that until COVID came here, a safe space. The other thing you provide, and I'd like for you to now talk about the property that it's currently on, because I just found it beautiful. The structures, the buildings, and that's courtesy of Johnny, your husband. He's a gifted craftsman. But the vision for organic gardens, the pond you have. Share more about everything that you're creating there, because you're doing that with the intention of creating safe space to go along with the safe emotional space that you're creating.
Yes, I just think a safe space and what we reflect off is just so important, and that beauty and love are just so powerful. So our dream that we share is to create just that inspirational, beautiful space set within 8 acres where women and children can come, be in nature, take their shoes off, walk around, feed the fish, do the programs, come and enjoy beautiful organic rainbow food, learn how to love their bodies through the food that they eat, and to literally get their hands in the dirt and work. We've got a phenomenal person, Bruce, that's been helping us, and he's so passionate about permaculture and the earth and our relationship with it and sustainability and regeneration. And he is helping us develop the organic gardens so that we can grow the food and share that journey with the women and children. It's all healing. So it's very powerful. We have beautiful plans for a meditation garden, which is outside our studio. And you're right, Johnny is so skilled in the work that he's done. And he's such a dreamer like me. So we've spent hours, days, weeks creating, visualizing and planning beautiful spaces so that we can divide the land into areas where you can go and meditate, where you can do sound therapy. We've got a beautiful moon room where holistic practitioners can come and partner with us and can teach yoga. In fact, we've been approached by a couple of wonderful yoga teachers already who practice trauma-focused yoga. So this is just going to be a lovely place for people to come and to be able to escape their outside world and enjoy the peace and tranquility whilst attending the programs, or just having a space where they can sit and be and share and connect either to themselves, to other people, to their animals. And you touched on something which is really important, and that's such a beautiful story that you shared about the lady saying about the safety of love. And this is one of the most powerful reasons that's so worth mentioning about the animals. And that is that often, well, not often, we are hurt by humans. We are hurt by people that we love. And that is why there is such incredible bonds and outcomes from women and children connecting with animals, because they feel held in a safe space where they're not judged and they feel that unconditional love. And, you know, that's what we've experienced, and that's why we believe that it's going to be so beautiful. And Ellie Lacks, who I'm also a huge fan of that you mentioned from the Gentle Barn, amazing work that they do. And, you know, that is why they've had such phenomenal outcomes, because of that relationship with people that have experienced trauma and struggle with PTSD or confidence or social skills, that they can make eye contact and have fun and play with the animals.
You know, I have to say, having gone out there, you introduced me to the therapy donkeys. You have 6 now. At that time, you just adopted 2 more. And they all have unique personalities. I mean, you were treating them as if they were your children and telling funny stories and how they handle one another. I just thought that was so adorable, because they are such gentle creatures.
Yes, they are just gentle. And Matilda and Clarence that we've just taken in, Matilda is pure white. She looks like a unicorn. We're convinced she is a unicorn. we've got Indiana's first unicorn. And Clarence, and, you know, they were a bonded pair and completely adore each other. And the property that they were at was being sold anyway. Thankfully, someone heard of what we were doing and reached out to us. So we were able to prevent them from going to auction, and able to offer them a forever home here. But yes, all just like people, just amazing individual personalities that provide so much entertainment, just watching how, you know, they have their own friendships the differences between them and what they enjoy to do. And I could spend hours photographing them and grooming them and being with them. And they've added so much joy to our lives. And Johnny is very attached to them too. So
that's wonderful.
Yeah, we love them being here.
What I love about your location too, not only is the property beautiful, but somehow you're able to find the space where it's just a little bit south of Mooresville off a major highway, but you can't tell when you're there. And do you know, you're not very far from the Indianapolis International Airport, are you?
No, we're 20 minutes away. So I would say within 45 minutes you are, or 40 minutes you are at all the key places.
Yes.
Around Indianapolis.
Yes.
So whether that's the north side, Bloomington, Broad Ripple, Central Indianapolis.
So those of you who are listening and you live in the Central Indiana area, I really encourage you, first of all, to go online and visit this amazing work. It's No Rain, No Rainbows, norainnorainbows.org. And on there, you will see in depth more information about everything that we've been talking about here. There'll be a link to a video. There's all kinds of information on there. And by the way, Katie designed that website. That blows me away right there. So this is a really gifted individual putting all this together. But you'll have a chance to see it firsthand, to reach out to her, set up an appointment, maybe do a FaceTime or a Skype if that's what you'd like to do. Those of you who are listening, courtesy of iTunes, and wherever you are, I encourage you to do the same thing. Reach out to Katie, set up a time, and think about flying here to the Indianapolis area. It's not very far from the airport, and experiencing firsthand some of these programs that are taking place. Now, to do that, let's take just a few minutes here and share a little bit about the capital needs, because every great nonprofit with a bold vision, and you have that, you have some needs. What are some immediate asks that you might have?
Well, we really want to open for spring, summer. Our dream is that there will be the opportunity to do that. And having just taken in the two extra donkeys, our current paddo that we have them in is in need of a rest. So we really need the funding to be able to put in a new paddock and home for the donkeys. And we also really need to get a trailer so we can move the donkeys, train them, and start building their social skills. We're going through the program with Pet Partners, mm-hmm. and part of that will be taking them out. So luckily, locally, we have Lowe's and Tractor Supply, where the donkeys will be welcome to visit and be petted and meet people, building up their confidence so that we can use them as therapy donkeys going into school programs and visiting women and children that are unable to live in their homes due to abusive or other challenging situations. So we really want to make that happen as quickly as possible so we can fulfill their training needs.
Yeah, and I believe some of that is also on your website. People can find out more information. But I really want to encourage all of my listeners to go to the website, norainnorainbows.org, and take a look at this beautiful work that is already unfolded. But you can already see the big, bold vision you have, and also even taking this nationally and internationally, because the need is great. And you've got some people here, Katie, Johnny, others who are helping them behind the scenes in getting this work off the ground. So please do that. And I just want to thank you so much, Katie, for not only the vision that you have and how it's already materializing, but where you want to see it go, because your heart is so pure about this. You just want to reach as many wounded people as possible, because you know what it's like having been there. And so that's why I personally have offered support to get behind this any way I can. And I just want to thank you for sharing your time and sharing your beautiful vision with all of us today.
Oh, and I want to thank you for you, and just thank you so much for inviting us onto the show and for sharing this with your viewers. And we're really excited to connect with you and to share our programs and to assist in any way that we can. And I would just like to mention that the programs are free. We really want to reach people, and we don't want financial or lack of finances to be a block. So we offer all our programs You can go online, and we're opening up enrollment now for February and March. So if you want to book either yourself or family members onto the programs, you are able to go onto the website and enroll. And for those of you that want to assist us and reach people and achieve our ambitious goals, then you can also go onto the website, and we would welcome any donations.
In closing, here's a great song from Tina Malia. It's off her Shores of Avalon album. And that's today's program. I want to thank my special guest, Katie Wyatt, for joining me. The website, norainnorainbows.org. I also want to thank my engineer, Genesis Brown, and production coordinator, Angel Richardson, for helping to make this possible. I'm Richard Brendan. You've been listening to Journey's Fire. We're bringing love to life, one broadcast at a time.